Okay, so we're listening to the sound of urban helicopters, and before that, the sounds, the very subtle sounds of the black-capped chickadees singing. And the two sounds are what you might encounter on any given day in Prince George. But new research from a UNBC scientist suggests that the sounds of urban noise is changing the way male black-capped chickadees are singing. Stephanie Lizert is an author of the report published in the Proceedings of the Royal Society of London. She's live in our Prince George studio. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Okay, so tell me, why do black-capped chickadees sing anyways?
So male black-capped chickadees sing in the spring mostly to defend a territory and attract mates. It's a way of showing off how awesome they are.
Okay, and so how important is that to, their way of life and continuing?
If they can't attract a mate, they don't reproduce. So it's pretty crucial. And if they can't defend a territory, then they can't provide for their offspring. So defending a territory, getting a territory, and getting mates are the two most important things for a male in the spring.
Okay. And why is urban noise altering the way that they're singing?
So urban noise is very low in frequency. It's a lot of sort of low truck car rumbles or helicopters, as you had in your example. What happens is when it overlaps in frequency with sounds, it masks the sound, so it makes it harder to hear. But what you can do is if you sing or call or talk or anything at a higher frequency, you sort of lift yourself out of that masking noise and you're more audible.
Okay, so how have the sounds changed from your observations? Has urban sound changed the song of the chickadee?
So the song of the chickadee is actually a Phoebe call. So the I'm going to correct you guys a little bit there. The earlier calls, those were calls. Those were chickadee calls. So the song is actually Phoebe. And male,
I recognize that. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know that they're actually black-capped chickadees because their songs and their calls are so different.
And so what we played was?
The call. So that's by both males and females.
All right. I think I understand.
So the song, black-capped chickadee males are kind of interesting in that they shift up and down normally. And in the way, it's a way of interacting with each other. So how well they can shift from a high frequency to a low frequency song is an indicator of sort of how dominant they are, how awesome they are, and how sexy they are to females. So they already have this built-in mechanism for shifting. And what we found, though, was that they shift upwards in song when we gave them experimental noise, but they only did this in urban areas. So other studies have found that black-capped chickadees, on average, just tend to sing more high-frequency songs in noisy areas rather than rural areas. And we were curious as to whether or not this is a learned or innate behavior. So
this sounds like not easy research to conduct. Can you tell me about how you went about it?
I mean, I'm sure I looked pretty silly in the field, me and my technicians. We have a big microphone. It looks like a bit of a bazooka, a big furry bazooka, and a recording gear. And then we have a speaker and we have it on a tripod. And so what we would do is we would target chickadees in a variety of different types of environments. So we go into rural areas and urban areas, but also noisy and quiet because we want to tease apart whether or not it was just urbanization or whether or not it was particularly noise. And then we would track down our chickadee. We would record him for about 5 minutes or so just to get a baseline. How do they sing normally in that particular environment? And then we would set up our tripod and start playing sort of synthetic low-frequency noise. So it sounds just like a highway would, just without sort of individual noises in it.
And how subtle or significant are the changes?
So they're pretty subtle, but what we found is that on average, as soon as we start playing this noise, if you look at across all the chickadees we studied, on average, they all start shifting their songs upward in frequency if they're in a noisy area. So they actually start to sing higher frequency songs. And this shift we see over 5 minutes. So it's a pretty quick change.
5 minutes. Okay. I was curious because do you think that if there was construction or development in a rural area, say maybe some forestry, would that have an effect on forest chickadees?
So what we found is that if we looked at chickadees from sort of typically quiet areas and we played back noise to them, they actually shifted downwards. So they didn't shift in the way we expected them to.
What's your theory about that? Why do you think that is?
Well, we really don't know, but we have a couple guesses. So one is that it's easier to sing low frequency songs. So you might be saying, well, I don't really know what's going on with the noise, so I'll just shift down lower because then at least I can sing easier and louder because then you can sing louder songs a bit. It could also be that that most of the noise in quiet areas actually comes from other birds. So other birds tend to be a higher in frequency.
So it pushes them down.
Yeah. So they're thinking, okay, oh, it's noise, I just go down when it's noisy. And what they have to do is learn to do that something differently.
So Stephanie, bottom line, why are we interested in this? Is this an indicator? Is there a drawback to it? Is it an issue, do you think?
So with black-capped chickadees in particular, it's perhaps not so exciting, except for the fact that, like, hooray, they're good in urban areas. But urban noise pollution is a form of pollution that people don't really think about very much. But it is a problem. We do know that it affects the way birds sing. And the more we know about how birds react to it and what the problems are, the more we can do to prevent it.
Great. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Stephanie Lazard is an environmental studies researcher at UMBC. She joined us live in our Prince George studio.